73 says, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you're also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man. Do not know Jesus." Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Now, this is around 6 o'clock in the morning now, from 3 to 6, all this is happening. And then we will see when the sun was now rising in the morning. Now this is the following day. The sun is rising in the morning. And now our Savior, our blessed Lord, is brought to Pilate. Around this time, Judas Iscariot, he hangs himself and commits suicide. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, verse 14. And here, verse 12 says, "And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly." And here we see the whole story as they were brought to Pilate here. Alright. Now around 7 in the morning, Christ was taken from Pilate to Herod. And this was exactly probably about 1 year before Herod put John the Baptist to death. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Now this is around 7 in the morning now. Luke chapter 23. It says here, "When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean." And 6 says, "And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent to Herod, and who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him." And here, of course, Pilate and Herod, you know, Jesus being sent forth from Pilate back into Herod. And of course, we know what happened, where Herod was a very wicked person. And we see around 8 o'clock in the morning, they took him back to Pilate, back again from Herod, back again to Pilate. All right? And this is where they asked the Jews if they would have Jesus or Barabbas. Remember that? Luke chapter 23 verse 11 says here, "Then Herod with the men of war treated him contempt and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate." Of course, they put a nice robe on him, kind of mockingly. And that day, very day, Pilate and Herod became friends. Even enemies became friends, okay, with each other. They had enmity with each other. Then verse 13, "Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to him, 'You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault.'" And of course, we see the story that time. Then verse 15, "No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him." Why did you bring him back to me? Then verse 16, "I will therefore chastise him and release him," you know, give him a punishment and let him go. Verse 17 says, "For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." So at the feast, this feast coming, somebody has to be released, okay? So then they all cried at once, and remember, somebody has to be released. Then the Jews cried and said, "Away with this man, release us Barabbas." See the story there. Now, around 9 o'clock in the morning, which the Jews, they call the third, Matthew 27, starting from verse 26, we see a story. They were going to release Barabbas. And 26 says, "Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he has crowd Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You see that? Christ was whipped. And we are going to see this more in depth in our later series, how they whipped him. And verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Wow. Imagine. God Almighty, with the angels worshiping day and night, and he came as a suffering servant, was obedient to the cross. Why? For the sins that you and I have committed, he had to go through this. He didn't deserve it. It's because of the sins that you and I committed, that we did on our own will, according to our passions that we like to do. Somebody had to pay the penalty. And the penalty was it's not easy. What humility is this, isn't it? He's a God Almighty who owns the universe. Where everybody is, if he wanted to, he could have sent just one angel to kill everybody instantly. But he didn't. He didn't open his mouth. Why? Because he will rather go through the will of the Father who sent him. In agony, he will go through. Because he came to set us free. Wow. Now, where do I stop? Now, around 10 in the morning, they publicly condemned Jesus to be crucified. Matthew 27:31, of course we saw that. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Turn with me to John chapter 19, verse 14. Exodus chapter 12. God told the Israelites to kill a lamb. That was the Passover, right? And that happened what time? During the twilight time, right? Okay, now go to John chapter 19, verse 14. And it says, now it was the preparation day for the Passover, And about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, behold your king, verse 15, and they cried out, and said, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. It was on the day of preparation for the Passover. Our Passover lamb, the true Passover lamb, is Jesus Christ. Amazing how God ordained this time, huh? Exactly, minute by minute, hour by hour, exactly how it should go. Then, about 11 in the morning, our Savior, the Lord, he carried the cross and he was brought to a place called Golgotha, where he was nailed to the cross and he was crucified. John chapter 19, verse 17 says, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place, the place of a skull, which was called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Then around 12 noon now, when they crucified him, around 12 noon, the Jews called the sixth hour. What happened was, there was an eclipse. And the sun hid its face. Literally, the sun hid its face. When the sun hides the face, what's going to happen? There was going to be darkness. And there was darkness for about 3 hours. There was darkness. That means from 12 o'clock noon until 3 in the afternoon, there was total darkness. See Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, as 3 hours, there was darkness. Right? From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, so there was darkness. There was from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was total darkness. And if you turn with me to Amos, which he prophesied on this, Amos chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," talking from Amos' time to the future, and says here, "says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at what time? At noon." Exactly, that's what happened. The sun went down at noon. "And I will darken the earth in what time? In broad daylight. And I will turn your feast." Now, of course, we know the feast. What's the feast? Feast of the Passover. It's time to celebrate the feast. "And I will turn your feast into what? Into mourning. And your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. And I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and it end like a bitter day." Wow, what a prophecy. What a prophecy. Literally fulfilled when he cried. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, 51. Matthew 27, 51. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." And here we see at this time, also within this time, what happened? The temple split into two. "At about 3 in the afternoon, with the Jews called the ninth hour." Now, from 12 to 3, he was crucified, but Christ is still alive on the cross, with agony, in pain. He's still alive. Then around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he cried out and said, "It is finished." John chapter 19, verse 30. "So when Jesus had received our wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Wow. So here we see that he was crucified probably around 11. Around that time he was crucified. Then around 3 in the afternoon, he was still alive. Just see how many hours he was there on the cross. And it is the most painful death. It is not an instant death. It is the most cruel death. And God sent his son into the world. The Galatians says, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son to die, to be a sacrifice for our sins, right? When the fullness of our time came. That means when the punishment for sin was most heinous, most difficult, when a person has done a crime, the crucifixion is the most painful thing that you can bear, because it is not an instant death, not unlike today. The guy who blew up Oklahoma City, the building over there, Timothy McVeigh, just an injection. That's the punishment today. Electric chair. Just instantly. But the punishment that time, it was more painful. Crucifixion, sometimes it's hours and hours and hours. You've got to go through the pain until you die, and you're gasping for breath. And this was the most painful punishment that you
any person can go through.
Then around 4 p.m., our Savior was pierced with a spear, and out of his side came blood and water. John chapter 19, 34. John 19, 34.
Just to give you that he was, of course, he was crucified at the twilight time, as just like the Passover lamb was to be crucified. See, verse 31 says, therefore, because it was the preparation day and the body should be not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Now we are going to go through more in depth into this, as I told you later, okay, in our studies. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. I'll tell you, the agony that Jesus bore was more, it was more severe. That's why he even died before. You're going to see that later in our studies. At about 5 p.m., where the Jews called the 11th hour, and the last hour of the day, he was buried. Now, what time did he start? 6 o'clock in the morning, right? 6 in the evening, right? The Passover meal. Now, the following day, 5. That means Jesus never had any sleep. Remember? He had to go through all that pain and the agony, carrying the cross, all the mocking, everything he went through. Of course, remember, he was God, fully God. He is at the Father's bosom, the most comfortable, luxurious place, the Father's bosom, leaving Father's bosom to this wicked world and coming as a suffering servant. Servant is the worst occupation of that day, to be a slave. And he came as a slave from the highest to the lowest. He came and he went through the punishment that was due to you and me. In Exodus chapter 12, we see if God told the Israelites to sacrifice the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, and God is going to go over and his wrath is going to come upon whoever the blood is not there on the doorpost, but when God sees the blood, he will pass over. Now that is very true to each one of us, and what's going to happen, because Christ took that penalty. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed. Now the wrath of God is going to come. The wrath of God is going to come. He is going to see if you have Christ's blood been applied to your heart. And if you are a true believer in Christ, Christ died for you. If you are a believer, Christ died for you. Amen. If you are not a believer, and you're always, you hear the message, but you had never ever made a commitment, or you had never repented of your sins, and Christ is more like a leader, a religious person for you, and you have heard him, he's a good teacher, and Christ is more like a religion for you. It's not a relationship with you that you have with Christ. It's a religion that you come to church. That's the only time you hear about Christ, when you come to church. And you don't have a relationship with Christ. What do you mean in a relationship? Communication, right? Love communication. An intimate fellowship, right? Just like husband, wife, children, you have intimate fellowship. That means you talk, right? You eat together. You stay in the same house together, right? You have fellowship with one another. But if you don't have that fellowship with Christ, if you're saying, yes, I know Jesus, but in your heart, you don't know Him really. Jesus will tell you, in that day, I never knew you. Away from me. You think that you know Jesus, but Jesus doesn't know you. So you need, if you don't have that fellowship with Him, how do you fellowship with Him? What's the communication? It's the Word. The Word became flesh. The Word is what? When the Bible says the Word became flesh, it means God became a man. The Word is His divine communication. It's the Word. This is where we read, we understand the Word. We communicate through the Word of God, to God. And you had that divine communication with Him. You read the Word. When you read the Word strikes you at your sins. And you know, these are my sins. And when you read the Word will expose your sins. When the Word exposes your sins, what do? You will say, well, that's good for me. That's a great blessing. You go away. No. You repent of those sins. You fall down and break. Ask God, please, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And tears come to your eyes when you see those things. Because you know what? Christ took the punishment for the believer, for you, if you're a true believer. Because Christ went through the agony. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They spat on him. For what? For my sins. And your sins, if you're a believer. Wow. See the pain that he went through. This is what is called the penal punishment of Christ. Because the code of law has been broken and justice is required because God is holy. His judgments are holy and it is manifested and His judgment is glorious judgment. It's a great judgment. God is holy. He's a glorious God. But somebody has to take the punishment. And I tell you, if you don't have that fellowship with Christ, that intimate fellowship with Christ, the wrath of God is going to come. His punishment will come. When His punishment comes, then His punishment is going to be severe. And we know it's going to be where? In hell. In utter darkness. Remember, in utter darkness, that means in darkness, you will look for a light, you will not see light. How if you are in darkness? How many people are scared of darkness? Darkness is going to be forever, for eternal this time. It's not going to be for a short time, it is forever. You'll be in darkness, and in pain, in agony. That's where, remember, if you remember Abraham, God told Abraham, take your only son to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. And Abraham was obedient. He went on a 3-day journey and he took his son. And the son asked, Father, where is the sacrifice? And of course, Abraham said, God will provide. Remember that story? How God, then Abraham bound his son and he was going to, with his knife, he was going to come on his son, he was going to sacrifice his son, and the angel of the Lord came and stopped him and said, God will provide a lamb. God provided a lamb for the sacrifice at that time. God provided Jesus Christ for the sacrifice. You can see, this is the book of life. This Bible contains life. Jesus said, John chapter 6:63, the words that I speak are not just words, but it contains life. This book, from the beginning to the end, is talked about what? There's blood flowing all the way through, from the beginning to the end. It's always, there are sacrifices. You remember Abel brought a better sacrifice, right? Cain didn't. But Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God. But the book of Hebrews says, but the sacrifice of Christ was even better, because he himself was a sacrifice. He himself was the victim. He is the priest and the victim both. Wow. Remember the hymn that says, you sinners seek his face, whose wrath you cannot bear, fly to the shelter of his cross and find salvation there. That's where we find salvation. At the foot of the cross, we find salvation. That's where life begins, because Christ was crucified on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have no words to express the agony and the pain that our Savior went through. There's no pictures that we can portray. No painter can portray a picture of the agony that Christ went through. Nothing can portray and show the in-depth pain and the agony that Christ went through. Our words cannot. It's something that is beyond our humanity, Lord. It's something beyond, because Christ came from heaven. And he came to this earth and he went through everything, Lord, but it is written by his disciples in this book, in the Word of God. But the true emotions, the true feelings, now we cannot even express, Lord. And you have given us just a little bit today, Lord, that we went through. But, oh Father, now something that our hearts cannot even comprehend, Lord. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord. The words that we heard, and that we will truly look to Christ. As Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man will be lifted up. So all men will be drawn to him. And here, the serpents in the wilderness were biting and people were dying. And God told Moses to make a bronze serpent. And whoever looks at the serpent will be healed. They don't have to do anything. But in the same time, Christ, he did the works that was required by the law for us on our behalf. He was obedient to the law of God. He was obedient even to the cross, that he went through the pain and the agony. And he is lifted up on the cross. Now whoever who looks to Christ, we don't have to do any works. We were bitten by the serpents. We were poisoned by sin. And we are the ones who are going to go through. We are the one who are going to hell. But cause us to see that the wrath of God is coming. That we will look to the cross. And that we would feel that we will look to the cross. Then we don't have to do any works. But the works of Christ is sufficient enough. And that Christ will forgive us. And if you don't know Christ today, if you don't know Jesus, we can forgive you. But repent of your sins, and Christ will come to your heart, and he will give you a new life. You don't have to go through the life you have been going before. You can have an abundant life in Christ. That means that you will follow the Master. And you will not follow yourself. You will follow the Master. And you will be excited in the salvation. You will be enjoying that salvation. You will be rejoicing of the salvation that he has given. Because blessed is a man whose sins are not imputed to him. David cried out, blessed is a man whose sins are not covered, but whose sins are forgiven. Wow. What a great joy to have our sins forgiven. of what Christ did for us. This is all what He did on our behalf.